it sounds like simple indicators.
Thank you very much. Okay, how are we doing? Okay, good. I don't know if I need that.
No? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so it's so good to be with you here in Riga. I bring welcome from Bakersfield,
California.
I've had a great time here in Riga. It's a beautiful city. Bakersfield, not so beautiful. Riga, very beautiful. I feel so welcomed here. I've been traveling for a little over 2 weeks. First in Warsaw,
Copenhagen,
Oslo, and then Tallinn, and now here in Riga. So I was asked to speak this morning on the question, why is there so much suffering in the world? Now to start, I'm going to ask you a question. But be careful how you answer the question. Do you believe that God is all powerful? That he could do whatever he wants? Are you sure?
Okay.
Do you believe that God is loving? More than that. Love is defined by God. Yes? Are you sure? Then I say the God you believe in can't be real. Consider a child born with a terrible defect. Suffers greatly. And dies a month later. And the parents suffer so much. So tell me, is because God can't prevent that? Or is it because he doesn't care? By the way, that's a good question, isn't it? Surely, as a believer, you've thought about that. By the way, I believe the Bible provides a reasonable answer to that question. But you have to admit, it's a good question. People have many criticisms of Christianity. They say there are so many contradictions in the Bible. I find that question easy to answer. I say, what contradictions? There are none. People say, for all history and archaeology, you can't trust the Bible. It's full of fables and stories. I say, the Bible is the most accurate history book of the ancient world. Give me one example. But this question is kind of a hard question. I've heard some people say, oh, that's not a hard question, that's an easy question for a Christian. I don't agree with that. I think it's a hard question, actually. So I'm going to divide into two parts. In the first part, I'm going to give what I believe is a reasonable Christian response to that question. So in the first part, we'll go up here. But really, the question about suffering, I think it's more down here. So in the second part of my lesson, I'll talk about that. One thing for sure, though, there is a lot of suffering in the world. Why would God allow genocide? How does that fit into his plan? Why didn't he stop Hitler from taking this country? Or to kill most of the Jewish people? There's pain, there's physical pain. You know, I get a cut or a broken bone, that doesn't really bother me emotionally. But what about people who have chronic pain? And their whole life, it's such pain, they want to end their life. Why would God allow that? And what about diseases? You know, I get a cold. That doesn't really create a philosophical problem. But why did God create cancer? I mean, does he not care? Or couldn't he solve that problem? And then there's emotional pain. When I was a child, my mother had a saying. She said, sticks and stones, they could break my bones. But words will never hurt me. Well, that's a lie. Because the emotional pain is even deeper. Maybe you've been betrayed. Or maybe somebody attacked you emotionally. Or abandoned. And there's poverty and hunger. Not so much here in Latvia, but I've been in countries where most people are hungry all the time. God should solve that problem. And there's terrorism, genocide, and violent crime. Another kind of suffering is fear. Some people in this room were sexually abused. And you have an emotional damage throughout your life. There's violence. Loneliness. Starvation. Genocide. Sexual abuse. And people who live alone. Why would a powerful, loving God allow this to happen? Is it because he doesn't care? Or because he's powerless? Now let's talk about the Christian response to this difficult question. I want to talk about free will. Where does the phrase free will, where is that found in the Bible? Actually, that's not in the Bible. But the idea certainly is. In Deuteronomy 30, God says to his people, I put before you today life and death. Blessings and curses. And he begs us to choose life and blessing. But why would God give us that choice? Why is there evil in the world? I thought everything God created was good. Let me tell you the answer. The Christian answer. It's because God loves us. I have a very simple question. Can you force someone to love you? Impossible. Why do we even exist? Because God wanted to love us, and He wanted us to love Him, and He wanted us to love one another. That's the only reason we exist. Oh, and to give glory to God. But love gives a choice. There were two trees in the garden. One was the tree of life. I like that tree. The other was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why did God put that tree in the garden? Because He wanted us to love Him. So He gave us a choice. And it was a real choice. It wasn't like, I give you €1 million, or I punch you in the nose. You know, it wasn't like that. That tree was desirable. It gave us knowledge that God didn't want us to have. So we looked at God. We looked at that tree. And we ate from that tree. Why is there evil in the world? According to the Bible, it's because God loves us. When you first hear that answer, that seems like a strange answer. But it's the only answer that makes sense. Hindus say that evil is an illusion. Really? It's an illusion? Seems real to me. The atheist says there's no such thing as evil. I think there's such a thing as evil. Everything God created obeys Him. The trees obey Him. Even the dogs obey Him. They might not obey you, but they obey God. The only thing that doesn't obey God is us. God took a big risk when He created us, because He wanted desperately for us to love Him. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Being a parent, it's very risky. Because your children may grow up and have a very bad life. But think about God. How many of His creation really love Him? And that tears God's heart. So remember that first question? Which is it? All the suffering in the world. Is it because God is not powerful enough? Or because he doesn't care? I say, absolutely not. God is so powerful and so loving that he made us. And he gave us a choice. Is God's will always done? Certainly not. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, God, your will be done. So there's free will. And I say to the critic of Christianity, well, what would be better? That we're like a machine? Or that God forces us to love him? Which is impossible. So that helps to explain not only why they're suffering, but also why there's evil in the world. On Judgment Day, are you going to blame God for the sin that you committed? You could. You could say, why did you create me? So what's the alternative? That you don't exist at all? Is that your preference? A great illustration is from the story of the prodigal son. The father loved his son. And his son says, give me my stuff. And the father said, okay. And his son left him. That's what all of us did, right? That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what you did and what I did. And when we rebel against God, it causes suffering. You might end up in a pig pen. But are you going to blame God? Why did that son end up in the pig pen? Because his father loved him so much. So I think that begins to explain why there's suffering in the world. And I believe this explains most of the suffering in the world. Think about how much suffering happens because of addiction. Because people have not self-control. Pornography. Sexual perversion. Sexual abuse. Anger. Violence. Greed. How much suffering is because of greed? Arrogance, jealousy. You know, there's a moral law. It's a little bit like the law of gravity. The moral law says this. If you rebel against God and sin, it brings suffering into the world. And that's an unavoidable law. Let's say you don't like the law of gravity. I don't like the law of gravity. I don't agree with the law of gravity. It just happens. Let's read Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 and 5.
Jo es, tas kungs, tavs dievs, esmu dusmīgs dievs, kas tēvu grēkus pie bērniem piemeklē līdz trešam un ceturtam augumam tiem, kas man ienīst.
This verse is kind of disturbing to me.
Šis pāns mani tā kā man traucē.
It says
rakstīts,
that God brings punishment
ka Dievs viņš piemeklēs, viņš dos sodu.
For what the father does
par to, ko tās ir darīs,
to the children
bērniem,
and the grandchildren
un mazbērniem,
to the fourth generation.
Un līdz ceturtai paudzē.
Now wait a minute.
Paga.
What about Ezekiel chapter 18? Where it says, the father does not inherit punishment for the sin of the son. And the son does not inherit punishment from the sin of the father. But here it says that they do. It seems like whoever wrote Ezekiel should have had a conference call with whoever wrote Exodus. But here is what I've learned. When it seems like there's a contradiction in the Bible, it's not a contradiction. We need to think.
Mums ir jāpadomā.
Exodus is talking about the eternal consequences. On judgment day,
tiesas dienā,
you'll stand before God based on what you did. That's not what God's talking about in Exodus 20. That's talking about the results in this life. If a husband abuses his wife, who suffers? She suffers. He suffers. The children suffer. Down to the fourth generation. That's what it's talking about. If you sin, you bring suffering into the world. If you're experiencing suffering, it might be because of sin. But does that explain all the suffering in the world? What book in the Bible talks about suffering the most? Exactly, Job. Job was suffering. Massive suffering. His friend said, it's because you're sinning. Job says, I'm a righteous man. Who was right? They were both wrong. Job was not suffering because of a sin that he or anybody else committed. And I think Job was a sinner. And our sin deserves hell. Now, we can read Job chapter 1. So we know why. It was to show the glory of God. Here's an interesting point from the book of Job. God never answered Job's question. At the end of the book, he says, God, why did you do this? And God says, you know, brace yourself like a man. Were you here when I formed the universe? That tells me something. You may never know the answer. If somebody close to you dies, or there's political chaos, all of us want to know why. But you may never know. You might have to trust God. Because faith is belief in things that are not seen. And then there's John chapter
9.
There's the story of the man who was born blind. And the Jews say, somebody's sin caused that. Was it his sin or his parents' sin? Jesus says, you don't know what you're talking about. This was so that God's glory could be revealed. Alright, so I believe the primary cause of suffering is because God has given us free will. Because a powerful God loves us so much. And we rebelled. And there's a moral law that's trying to teach us. When you sin, you bring suffering in. But that doesn't explain all the suffering in the world. What about what happened in the Bahamas last week? Whose sin brought that hurricane to the Bahamas? That's a crazy idea. That sin causes hurricanes. What about the tsunami that hits Sumatra? The mullahs said, the Muslim guys, they said it's because people were not going to the mosque enough. I don't agree. I don't think God wants people to go to a mosque. Let me tell you why that tsunami happened. It's called plate tectonics. And I tell you, plate tectonics is a good thing. But the pressure builds up, and then it's released. But you know what? Because of plate tectonics, which is a massive recycling system, it brings minerals to the surface. Otherwise, we couldn't grow crops. And if it wasn't for plate tectonics, we'd have no atmosphere. So if you don't like plate tectonics, go to Mars. A sterile surface and no atmosphere. So the atheist says, what's wrong with your God? He should prevent earthquakes. So my answer is this. All right, you invent a better universe. Could you invent a better universe? One which produces an atmosphere and the minerals for life without earthquakes? I invite you to go ahead and do that. But I say God did an amazing job. And what about that hurricane? If God really loved us, He would make the hurricane miss that island. But God made a natural world. And by the way, death is natural. The problem is not pain. The problem is not death. The problem is sin and separation. So let me explain why that hurricane hit the Bahamas. It's called weather. The earth is spherical. And the source of energy is over there. Now, it would be better if the earth was a cylinder. Then the energy would be distributed equally. Say, God, why didn't you make cylindrical planets? Well, he said, it's gravity. It makes things round. And the weather distributes the energy almost equally. Otherwise, we'd have no life. So I say thank you, God, for making weather. But the bottom line is we have hurricanes. I got you on this one. What about bacteria? Why would God make bacteria? If it were not for bacteria, we'd have no oxygen in the atmosphere and no nitrogen in the soil. And no vitamin K in your blood and many, many other things. I say, thank you, God, for making bacteria. So there are two causes of suffering. The primary cause is sin. And it may sound very strange when I say it, but the reason there's sin is because God loves us. And there are natural causes. And like I said, if you could make a better universe, be my guest. But I say, thank you, God, for plate tectonics, for weather, and for bacteria. And you say, why would God create pain? What a masochist God is. I say, if it wasn't for pain, all of us would be dead. The parent says, don't touch, you'll get burned. Don't touch, you'll get burned. So what does the child do? They touch. They get burned. And they don't touch again. Pain is a good thing.
Sāpes ir laba lieta.
It's because God loves us.
Tāpēc, ka Dievs mūs mīl.
And that includes emotional pain.
Un tas ietvers arī, emocionāls sāpes.
Which often is a warning.
Tas bieži vien ir brīdinājums.
Think about your ways.
Padomā par saviem ceļiem.
But I'll be honest with you.
Bet būs godīgs ar jums.
When we talk about the heart,
ja mēs runājam par sirdi,
this intellectual explanation, it just doesn't seem like enough. Still, why is there so much suffering? But pain is a good thing. Without suffering, there's no joy. If there were no suffering, there would be no joy. I like joy, so I have to accept suffering. Suffering, if we accept it as God wants us to, it gives glory to God. Some of you, if God had not allowed suffering to come into your life, would still be lost. True? And without suffering, we remain children. We grow through suffering. Without suffering, we remain weak. In America, we say, no pain, no gain. And the Bible certainly agrees with that. Another point, by the way, I'm going through all these passages, but I'm doing them fast. So I'll publish this on my website. Because right now, the parents with the children, they're suffering. It's been an hour and a half almost. But you know, suffering is good for them. So maybe we should go for 3 hours. They could suffer even more. And then they would be stronger. Just kidding. Maybe after church you should come up and punch me in the face. And I'll have joy, you know, from suffering. And that's not really what I'm saying. But in 1 Peter 2, verse 20, it says, suffering is the natural result of doing good. So you don't want to have any suffering? Just sit on the couch. And do nothing. But what kind of life is that? Let's read Colossians 1. Verse
24. Piepildīdams to, kas vēl trūks no Kristus ciešanām savā miesā par labu draudzē, kas ir viņa miesa.
Now we're beginning to get to the heart.
Tagad mēs sākam pāriet pie jautājuma par sirdi.
To how suffering relates to the heart.
Kā ciešanām ir sakars ar sirdi.
This verse, it says something sort of surprising.
Šajā pantā rakstīts kaut kas nedaudz pārsteidzošs.
Paul says, the suffering of Christ is not sufficient. He says, for us to be mature as Christians, we must participate in his suffering. It's true. So the atheist says, if God really loved us, he would prevent suffering. I don't agree with that.
Es nepiekrītu tam.
But still,
tomēr,
let's just be honest.
Būsim atklāti.
There's kinds of suffering that make us struggle.
Ir tāds ciešanas, kuras mums ir tik grūti pieņemt.
I mean, if your child has leukemia,
ja tavam bērnam ir leukēmija,
surely you question God.
Tu skaidrs, tu uzdosi jautājumus, kāpēc Dievs tā?
So it's time for us to start thinking about the emotional response to suffering.
Ir labs brīdis sākt domāt par emocionālo reakciju.
So let's summarize the first part.
Bet pabeidzam tādu uzsilkumu pirmajai daļai.
And I promise the second part is only 10 minutes, okay?
Es apsolu, otrā daļa tikai 10 minūtes.
Most suffering is because of free will.
Lielākā daļa ciešanu ir brīvās gribas dēļ.
And our rebellion.
Un tādēļ, ka mēs esam sacēlušies.
Our rejection of what God wants for us.
Tādēļ, ka mēs esam atmetuši to, ko Dievs vēlas priekš mums.
Because evil,
jo ļaunums,
is something that was good,
ir kaut kas, kas ir labs,
that we corrupted.
Ko mēs esam samaitājuši.
So most suffering is because of sin and rebellion.
Lielākā daļa ciešanas ir dēļ grēka un dēļ mūsu sacelšanās pret Dievu.
But other suffering is because of natural causes.
Bet citas ciešanas ir dabiska apstākļa dēļ.
It's not God's goal to prevent suffering.
Tas nav Dieva mērķis izņemt ciešanas no dzīves.
Or even to prevent death.
Vai arī, lai nāves nebūtu.
It's to prevent sin.
Bet gan viņš grib, lai grēka nebūt.
And separation.
Un šīs šķiršanās no Dieva nebūt.
Besides, pain and evil are not even bad things. I'm sorry, pain and death are not bad things.
Un starp citu, sāps un nāve nemaz nav slikta lieta.
So let's talk about the human problem of suffering. The emotional problem of suffering. You know, your response to suffering depends on your view of the world. Like I said, according to Hinduism, suffering is an illusion. Who does most of the benevolent work in Hindu countries? Christians do. There are good Hindus. But honestly, Christians do most of the benevolent work in Hindu countries. What about the Buddhist response to suffering? I don't mean to disrespect anybody. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But the Buddhist idea is to end emotions. Is to have no passion. So who does most of the benevolent work in Buddhist countries? It's Christians. What about Islam? Who does most of the benevolent work in Muslim countries? Muslims do. Because one of the pillars of Islam is giving alms. I don't know how you'd pronounce that.
Yeah.
Giving for the poor. But according to Islam, it's illegal to use that money for anyone who's not a Muslim. What about the atheist response to suffering? There's no meaning, no purpose. So what is the Christian response to suffering? The answer is compassion. In James
1:27,
it says, this is real religion. To help the widows and the poor. In Jeremiah 22,
Jeremijas grāmatā 22. nodaļā,
verse 15 and 16,
16. pantā,
God asks,
Dievs jautā,
what makes you great?
Kas tevi padara par lielisku?
Having more cedar?
Tas, ka tevi būtu vairāk,
this is what makes a man great.
Vairāk kaut kādas lietas, nē, tas, kas ir padara.
To defend the cause of the poor and the needy.
Aizstāvēt nabago un cilvēku, kas ir vajadzībās, viņu lietas.
This is what it means to know me.
Tas, ko nozīmē pazīt mani.
Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7.
Jesajas grāmatā 25. nodaļā 6. un 7. pant.
This is the kind of fasting I've chosen.
Tas ir gavēns, gavēšana, ko es pieņemu.
To break the chains of injustice.
Pārraut netaisnības bažas.
To untie the cords.
Atciet strips.
To free the oppressed.
Un atbrīvot tos, kas ir apspiesti.
Proverbs 14, verse 31.
Salmu pamācības 14. nodaļa 31. pants.
He who oppresses the poor
tas, kas apspiež nabagu,
shows contempt for their maker.
Viņš nicina radītāju.
But whoever is kind to the needy
bet tas, kas ir laibns un labsirdīgs pret nabagu,
gives honor to God.
Pagodina Dievu.
Micah, chapter 6, verse 8.
Micah 6,
verse
8.
What does the Lord require of you?
Ko Dievs prasa no tevis?
To act justly,
rīkoties taisnīgi,
to love mercy,
un mīlēt žēlstību,
and to walk humbly with your God.
Un pazemībā stājāt savu Dievu priekšā.
Even Albert Einstein said,
pat Albert Einstein saka,
the world is a dangerous place,
ne pasauli ir bīstam viet,
not because of those who do evil,
ne šo cilvēku dēļ, kas dar ļaunu,
but because of those who look on and do nothing.
Bet gan to cilvēku dēļ, kas redz to un neko ar to neiesāk.
The Christian response to suffering
kristiešiem ir jācieš,
is to show compassion.
Tas ir tam dēļ, lai viņi var izrādīt līdzjūtību.
To show love. Who had the greatest compassion ministry in all history? It was Jesus. Jesus came to teach, to preach, and to heal. You know, there was one of the emperors of Rome. His name was Julian. He was the son of Constantine. The one who made Christianity legal. But Julian wanted to be a pagan. But he was very frustrated. He says, Christianity, it keeps growing. Because of their loving service.
Tādēļ, ka viņi rūpējās par citiem cilvēkiem.
That they even give to strangers.
Viņi pat dod kaut kādas labas lietas svešiem cilvēkiem.
And they take care of burying the dead even from the pagans.
Un viņi apglabā mirušos pat tos, kas ir pagāni.
Those Christians,
šie kristieši,
they don't only take care of their own poor.
Viņi tikai par saviem cilvēkiem, kam ir vajadzības parūpējas.
They take care of our poor.
Bet arī par mūsu, kas nemaz nav kristieši.
Well, our people, they have no help from each other.
Mūsu cilvēki viens otram nemaz nepalīdz.
I say, amen.
Es saku, amen.
That's what Jesus' people do.
Tas ir tas, ko dara Jēzus cilvēki.
Not because suffering is bad.
Ne tāpēc, ka ciešanas ir ļauns.
But that's what love does.
Bet tāpēc, ka tas ir tas, ko dar mīlestība.
This challenges me.
Tas izaicina mani.
In Hebrews 2, verse 17 and 18.
Ebrejiem 2. nodaļā 17. un 18. pants.
It says, Jesus suffered in every way.
Jēzus ir gājis visām ciešanām cauri.
Just like us. And in Hebrews 5 it says, Jesus was made perfect through suffering. I thought it was already perfect. Well, that word actually means complete. Because a good priest can communicate from us to God. And Jesus understood God's language. He had that really down. But he had to come here and to learn what it means to obey through suffering. If you're suffering, the Christian God, he understands. He has compassion. That's a beautiful thing about God. You know, it's kind of funny. In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1, Jeremiah says, God, you are always just. And all your decisions are right. But then Jeremiah says, but I don't agree with what you did over here. Isn't that awesome about God? He wants us to complain to Him. He wants us to cry out when we suffer. It's because of Jesus' compassion. Jesus was standing over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How I long to gather you in. But you wouldn't let me. And in John 11, it says that Jesus wept at that tomb. Why did he weep? Because Lazarus was dead? Not at all. It's because Mary and Martha were weeping. That's why Jesus wept. So what should we do in response to this lesson? We should understand that suffering is not evil. Death is not evil. Sin is evil. And separation from God and from one another, that's the problem. But when there's suffering, we need to offer love. We need to offer love. If you have a friend, maybe their parent died. Don't read Romans 8, verse 28. It says, all things work out for the good of those who love God. Don't do that. Hug them. Listen to them. And as a church, you need to have a compassion ministry. We need to have impact. We don't just give money and food to the poor. We create opportunities. We welcome the foreigners and the aliens. Even if our culture does not. Because that's what Jesus did. So we need to have programs that give hope. You can't solve all the problems. In Bakersfield, we decided our ministry is going to be to help the children who have developed, you know, handicapped children, basically.
And
we're starting a program, a major program, to have impact. So what are you going to do here? What's the church in Riga going to do to help the hurting community? But I tell you this, the best way to prevent unneeded suffering is to help somebody become a Christian. Because that cuts off that chain of suffering. So even if you were abused as a child, honestly, that affects you as a parent. Let's be honest. But I believe there's hope in Christ. Let's finish by reading Matthew 9.
Un kad viņš ļaužu pulkus redzēja, sirds viņam par tiem iežēlojās, jo tie bija novārdzināti un atstāti kā ārs, kam nav gana. Un tad viņš saka uz saviem mācekļiem, pļaujamā daudz, bet pļāvē maz. Tāpēc lūdziet pļaujas kungu, lai viņš izsūta strādnieks savā pļaujamā.
This was Jesus' ministry.
Tā bija Jēzus kalpošana.
Preaching.
Sludināt.
Teaching.
Mācīt.
And healing.
Un dziedināt.
So it's not enough that we preach and teach. We also need to heal. Because that's what Jesus did. You know, we think of this as an evangelism passage. And it is an evangelism passage. But what does he tell them to do? There are helpless and harassed people. And that includes the richest people in this country. They're not suffering physically, but they're living empty, meaningless lives. So God says to these people, go out and show compassion. You know, we started with a question. How do you explain the suffering in this world? Surely it either means that God is not powerful enough, or it means he doesn't care. But we found out that is not the case at all. God is so powerful and so loving that he made the universe and he made us because he wanted to love us. And he desperately wanted us to love him and love one another. But we rejected his love. And suffering came into the world. So we show compassion. But we also try to lead people to Christ. Because we have to remember, the real problem is separation, not suffering. Thank you. Good job.
I want to end it in less than an hour.